This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and we are joined by Howie Newman, singer, songwriter, musician, and entertainer, and a former sports writer on top of that. That's how we got to know him. But Howie, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
I've specialized in low-paying jobs through my whole career. So, you know, music and sports, that's been it. But I've enjoyed all of it, so I can't complain.
You know, I reached out to you just recently here because I was going through some of my vinyl collection, which is not really a collection. It's a heap of records. But I did have a couple of Howie Newman recordings from many years ago, some of your baseball songs. We'll get to that a little bit later on. But now I learned that you are still very active and doing many things and writing more songs and just releasing an album. I'll get to that in just a moment. But I guess tell us a little bit about how you combined these two kind of a sports writing career earlier and, of course, now singer-songwriter.
Well, you know, it's interesting because the sports writing career grew out of my music. I put out a baseball EP back in the late 70s, and I was advertising it in a magazine, and some guy from Dorchester saw it, and he was desperate for like a sports writer for his monthly local publication. So he called me up, and he said, "Well, you want to write some sports?" And you know, I'd been a sports fan my whole life, but never actually thought about sports writing. And I said, "Well, yeah, I'll give it a try." And you know, I kind of learned by trial and error, and people gave me some tips and things here and there. But that's how I got into sports writing. I was working for that, and then I went on to work for the Middlesex News, was covering American Legion baseball. And within 5 years of when I was started with the Middlesex News, which is now Metro West Daily, I covered the World Series. So I guess I moved up. I covered the World Series for the Lynn Item in 85 and 86. So that's kind of a convoluted way of getting into it, but that's the way it happened.
So you're still doing some baseball stuff. We'll get to that in just a while. Baseball and music, I'm referring to as well. So we'll get to that in a moment. But that's where our paths crossed when you were at the Item back in, I guess, the mid '80s, as you point out. I have no idea when it was, but back in the mid '80s, and I was at WESX in Salem covering local sports and different things as well. So yeah. So since that time, you know, no more sports writing, but your last assignments, I understand, was with the Globe. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I did some freelancing for the Globe late, I think it was 1998 or something like that. And my last full-time job was with the Lowell Sun sports writing. So, and then I got, from that there, I did like corporate communications, which, you know, was still tapped into my writing skills, but was a little more steady in terms of employment, because you know, in the late '90s is when the newspaper business started going downhill, which coincided with the internet becoming your primary source of information. So, I actually got out of newspapers entirely after the late '90s, and I did some writing for a while. I did that kind of full time for a while, and then I was doing the music on the side, and then it kind of flipped over. I was doing the music more than and the writing sort of on the side. And about the last 6-7 years, I've been doing pretty much all music, you know, performing, writing. You know, I do all my own booking and all my own promotion. So it's a full-time job. And I love doing it and been getting out to perform. And it's great.
Now, we have all the contact information up there on our website, from your website. People will be able to link to the different parts on your website to get that information. Before I get to your new album, just tell me about the performing piece, what you do. So you do go out to different groups around the area, but I know you team up with a duo, Knock on Wood. So just give me a quick overview on some of the things you're doing out there musically in person.
Well, about half of the shows that I do are with a duo called Knock on Wood. So I play acoustic guitar and sing, play a little harmonica. My partner plays fiddle and mandolin, and depending on the venue, we have sort of a varied repertoire. We do some of my songs, and we do, but of the cover songs we do, we don't do any folk music. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but we do a lot of classic rock, you know. So we arrange that for fiddle and mandolin, and it comes out really it's a really interesting sound, and people really seem to like it. And we've got like 38 concerts booked this year. We do we play at libraries. We do the outdoor summer concerts that are usually at a park or a school or something like that, and it's free. You just come and you bring a chair or a blanket and hang out for a little while. And I've been doing some senior centers also this year is the first time I've done a lot of them with Knock on Wood. And so we do, for those venues, we do a few more oldies and Elvis and stuff, but it's still a pretty up-tempo, interesting, lively concert. And we do some of my songs as well. And I'm good at engaging the audience and, you know, injecting some humor into it. So we have a real good time, and it's a lot of fun. And it's, you know, I did mostly the first, you know, 20 years of my music career, I was playing solo. And to be doing this now, it's just, you know, it's more than doubling the energy and the entertainment value. It just really adds quite a bit, because they both, my partner, sings backup vocals too, so a lot of varied instrumentation arrangements, and it just adds a lot of energy and excitement into the show.
Well, maybe I think Bruce Springsteen started as a single act himself back a few years ago. You know, it's possible. You know,
yeah. Well, actually, I did see Bruce Springsteen the first time I saw him was at the Harvard Square Theater opening for Bonnie Raitt. That was a long time ago, but I like to tell that story. I also saw Jimmy Buffett at Passim Coffee House in Harvard Square as a solo. So everybody starts out somewhere.
Well, no, that's good. You know, and I'm thinking to myself as you're telling me where you might be, maybe the next time I see you will be at a senior center, for all I know, you know?
Possible. Well, check it. I keep my calendar on the website and keep it up to date, and so check it out, yeah. Whatever it is, whether it's a library or an outdoor show or senior center, they're all free, so, you know, come on by. Some of them you have to call up to register to, you know, if it's indoors, they want to make sure they have enough room for everybody, but... yeah, stop on by and mention your podcast.
I was referencing my age, Howie. That's where I was going with that. Yeah, there you go.
I'll give you a handshake and a smile.
There you go. So now we're going to play some of your music here. We got a couple of selections lined up here. And we also have a graphic down below on this post of your new album. So let's begin right there. It's out. It's available. So tell us about your new album, and again, folks can see that graphic of the album, and and then maybe we'll, which is, it sure beats work, so tell us about that.
Sure beats working.
Oh, sure beats working, okay.
Yeah, so basically, you know, that's the title track of it, and it's just sort of a celebration of the fact that I'm able to do music full-time, because I really enjoy doing it, even the business aspect of it, it's fun, but, you don't make a whole lot of money being a full-time musician, but it sure beats working. That's sort of the thing. And so I really appreciate it. And one of the lines in the song is, you know, that to summarize it, it's sort of like you make a dollar playing music, it's worth more than a dollar than doing something else, which because you really appreciate the fact that I'm able to get out there and do something that I really love. So the new album is out, and it's got like a really wide variety of songs on it. Some of them are funny songs, and some of them are serious, and I have a couple of actually political songs on there, and I have a song about the pandemic, and I have a couple of baseball songs. So it's a lot of different types of arrangements, because I really think that, I mean, there are varying opinions as what you should do when you put yourself out on an album, you know, whether you should really represent what you do at a concert or whatever. I feel like this is sort of like an open palette. You can experiment with a lot of different kinds of arrangements and do a lot of different kinds of things. So we did a couple songs that are a little bit electric, country type of music, and then bluegrassy kind of things, and pop, and we did one number that's kind of a calypso number, and yeah, it's I enjoy doing the albums because it really gives you an opportunity to not only to get your music out, but to experiment with a lot of different types of music and push yourself creatively to see what kind of arrangements you can come up with.
Well, I think maybe at this point it makes sense to play that that title track, if you will. It sure beats working.
Sure.
All right, let's do it.
I used to sing in the shower and dream about being a rock and roll star. Then I grew up and got paid by the hour. I learned that dreaming wouldn't get you too far. But in the back of my mind, I always kept my hopes alive. I got a guitar, wrote a bunch of songs, got some played on the radio. For too long, finally figured out it was a way to go. All the while, I just had to smile. Cause it sure beats working any day. Just the thought of making it easy. Your beat's working, that's the truth. I ain't rich, I don't live in a mansion. I drive around town in a beat up car. But I got a job that really is a passion. Got a hold on me deep down in my heart. My oh my, just a lucky guy. Your beat's working any day. Just the thought of making it easy in my own way makes me happy. Through and through, your beat's working.
Is Howie Newman, title track from his new album, It Sure Beats Workin'. And Howie, let's play some more music if we could. I know you have another cut out there that we're going to feature here, My Baby Can't Parallel Park. So what's the story behind this song?
That's it. I mean, you know, most of the stuff that I write is sort of, you know, from personal experience and you know, if what you hear is what you get. It's my wife has a lot of trouble. My wife Ellen, I love her, but she has a lot of trouble parking the car, you know. And I've been thinking about writing this song for a while, and my baby can't parallel park. I remember one night, though, we went out to a concert in Somerville at a club there, and she was, like, parking the car, and she was, like, banging the curb and going back and forth and everything. And I said, okay, I just got to write this song, you know. And so so we did it. So, you know, it's sort of typical of a lot of the songs that I write, because it's not cryptic, you know. You don't really have to figure out what's going on. It's pretty much right out there. So that's what it is. It's kind of a comical look at this thing. And I have been inspired by my family, you know, to write songs and things like that. As a matter of fact, on the new CD, this is from my my previous CD, which is called When You're Happy. And actually, the title track of that was inspired by when we went to, my wife and I went to a yoga retreat for a weekend. But, you know, When You're Happy, I have songs about my family and things like that. And I just try to delve into everyday life, you know. I think people can relate to that and understand it.
Why My Baby Can't Parallel Park? Now, does your wife like this song? I mean, is this something that she kind of whacks you when she hears it? Or
no, she was amused. She's a good sport about it. So, yeah, she's okay.
Before we play this song, do you have any songs about rotaries or roundabouts in your repertoire?
I do, actually. Well, I sort of have one. I have on the first full-length album that I did was called Trust Me, You Will Like It. And I have a song called Driving in Boston Is Driving Me to Drink. So, I don't think it has anything specifically about rotaries in it, but it does have about driving in Boston.
You know, you raise a good question, Howie. Which came first? One of those questions: the Boston driver or the drinking? You know, who knows?
I didn't really like the idea of putting drinking into it, because obviously you don't want
no.
You don't want people to be drinking and driving. But it was sort of the phrase kind of stuck in my mind, and that's basically the way I write songs. I'll get a phrase or a line or something that'll be the theme of the song, and then that'll kind of drive it,
so to speak. Drive it. Okay, so let's listen to that song here. My Baby Can't Parallel Park.
I love my woman with all my soul. She's smart and pretty, she got a heart of gold. She knows how to cook and dresses so fine. I'm so glad that she's all mine. No one's perfect, you know that's true. There's just one thing she can't do. She tries real hard but misses the mark. My baby can't parallel park. My baby can't parallel park. After all these years, she's still in the dark. Back and forth and up on the curb, bumping and grinding, it gets on my nerves. Rocking and rolling with all of her heart. My baby can't parallel park. We drove into town one Saturday morning. It was a beautiful day, sunny and warm. Do a little shopping, check up the sales, pick up some food and drop the mail. Mm-hmm. 1 hour parking, the street sign said. My baby just shrugged and shook her head. Just 1 hour, that's a disgrace. It takes almost that long to get into this space. Because my baby can't parallel park. After all these years, she's still in the dark. Back and forth and up on the curb, bumping and grinding, it gets in my nerves. Rocking and rolling with all of her heart. My baby can't parallel park. simple geometry, it's no big deal. You angle it in, then you're turning the wheel. Straighten it out, there you are. You lock all the doors and get out of the car. But hurts a mystery with nary a clue. It's just one thing she can't do. She's searching for something like Lewis and Clark. My baby can't parallel park. My baby can't parallel park. After all these years, she's still in the dark. Back and forth and up on the curb. Bumping and grinding, it gets in the nerves. Rocking and rolling with all of her heart. My baby can't parallel park. My baby, can't parallel park.
Okay, Ellen, you got 10 feet on either side. Just take your time now. I know you can do this.
She can't parallel park.
All right, there it is. Howie Newman, My Baby Can't Parallel Park. So, Howie, we have one more song we're going to feature here, Big in Belgium, and that's from a totally different album as well, I understand, right?
That's from the Trust Me You'll Like It album.
Which, Trust Me you'll Like It?
Trust Me You'll Like It, yes.
There you go. Okay. And,
Big in Belgium, that actually came out of, it was an embellishment, but it came out of a real-life experience. When I released, that was my first full-length CD. I had some other things that I released as EPs, but so when I released my first CD, that was back in 2001, it was an EP of songs that I had previously recorded on vinyl, you know, and I got them remastered and put out a CD, and so I was very excited, and you know, I have a newspaper background and I know how to do PR, so I was sending it out all over the place, and I was advertising it on the web, and this guy from Belgium sent me an email and asked me to send him the CD, you know. So I said, all right, you know, it cost me like $8 or $9 to ship it overseas. And never heard back from him again, but it did formulate in my mind, it inspired a song to write about how I was going to be a big rock star in Belgium and in Europe and everything else. And so that's how I kind of came to write that song. And so it was another thing from, well, kind of fantasy, really, but it was inspired by a real-life experience.
So but before we play it, you mentioned EP. Now we know what an LP is, a long-playing record, but an EP, is that the...
It's like a short album, so it's sort of like 5-6 songs or something like that.
Yeah, so I have one of those right in front of me with yours. I have your Howie Newman Baseball's Greatest Hits, Volume 1.
Right. Well, that's five songs on there. So the EP that inspired that, the Big in Belgium song, I think had 6 songs on it.
Okay.
So yeah, that's what it is. It's called Extended Play, I guess, or something like that.
Yeah, no, I get it. And so let's tune that in. We're going to do some more baseball stuff coming up here in just a moment. Howie Newman, Big in Belgium.
My agent hasn't called me in 18 weeks, and I really could use a few bucks. If I don't get a gig in a day or two, I'm gonna have to go back to driving trucks. It's making me crazy, it's getting me down. I can't seem to make any waves in this town. But I'm big in Belgium, I'm loaded with fame. Brussels, Antwerp, and Ghent, they all know my name. They love me in Belgium. Over there, I'm the man. Well, I'm the biggest thing in Belgium since Steely Dan. All the critics are so hard to please. The radio stations send back my CDs. The club owners hide when I walk through the door. I can't take this kind of rejection no more. I dream about playing in big sold-out halls, but even my mother won't return my phone calls. But I'm big in Belgium, I'm loaded with fame. In Brussels, Antwerp, and Ghent, they all know my name. They love me in Belgium, over there I'm the man.
Well, I'm the biggest thing in Belgium since Steely Dan. I'm simply Eugene Bruges. A mansion waits for me overlooking the North Sea, 'cause I'm big in Belgium. I'm loaded with fame. Brussels, Antwerp, and Ghent, they all know my name. They love me in Belgium. Over there I'm
reeling in the years, stowing away the time.
And I'm the biggest thing in Belgium since Steely Dan. I'm the biggest thing in Belgium ever.
All right, there he is, Howie Newman. And Howie, I want to get into the baseball piece here now, because as I mentioned before we started, I had a couple of your records here. This other one I mentioned is the 45. Which is the one I remember you from, Blasted in the Bleachers, yeah. Howie Newman. And so maybe tell me about your baseball songs, and we'll get into that baseball show that you do from time to time as well.
Sure. But, yeah, Blasted in the Bleachers, I sold more vinyl of that than any other of my albums or singles or whatever. I don't actually do that song anymore. It's sort of not terribly politically correct, you know. But it was a kind of amusing song back then. But, yeah, I've written a whole bunch of baseball songs, and I have two baseball EPs out, Baseball's Greatest Hits Volume 1 and Volume 2. And Volume 3 I'm hoping to get out in the fall, because I've written some more songs, more baseball songs. And, you know, it's sort of being I've been a big baseball fan since I was, like, 10 years old, so it was kind of a natural thing for baseball to involve itself with my songwriting. And so I've joined that. And then about 6 or 7 years ago, I started doing these musical baseball shows. It just kind of happened by accident. I was doing a show on opening day. Wasn't opening day, because I would have been at the game, but it was around opening day. And they asked me to do some baseball songs, and people wore their jersey, you know, their baseball outfits and T-shirts and hats and everything. And I just said, well, you know, I could put together like an entire show of baseball music, you know. So I started doing that sort of formally, and I have like a couple of pages on my website about it, and people really enjoy it. I do baseball songs and trivia, tell some stories. One of the stories I tell is about my Dump the DH campaign, which I...
Oh, yes.
...campaign to get rid of the designated hitter rule.
Now it's coming back, Howie. I remember that now. Absolutely, yeah.
And as part of that campaign, I sold bumper stickers, and the bumper sticker is in the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. It's in a glass case with my name under it and everything. Very cool.
Wow, that's fantastic. Yeah, Dump the DH. I'd forgotten all about that. Yeah.
And if you go to my website, howienewman.com, and it's on the whole, there's a link to that on the homepage where you can actually see the bumper sticker in the Hall of Fame.
What do you think about the restriction on shifts now in baseball?
Well, it's not as bad as getting the designated hitter in the National League. It's okay. It doesn't bother me that much. I don't really like it, but it doesn't bother me that much. But
all right.
Getting, you know, incorporating the designated hitter really, really bums me out. I don't like that at all.
You're not over that yet, are you, then?
No, I haven't been over that, you know. I'm just hoping they'll do some kind of a defensive switch or something in a game where I go to and then the pitcher will have to bat or something and he'll hit a home run or something like that.
There you go. Yeah. Well, keep dreaming on that one, but yeah.
I know.
You got a defensive switch and a pitcher hitting a home run. That's that would be it.
See, if the designated hitter takes the field,
yeah,
which happens sometimes, if you're like if you have two catchers and one's DHing and the other guy gets hurt or something, the catcher takes the field, then the pitcher has to hit. You lose your designated hitter, so that happens very rarely. But
what are you mansplaining this to me, Howie? Come on now.
Well, you know, not everybody understands the intricacies of the designated hitter rule.
No, that's a good point, because it really doesn't come up that much, the scenario you point out, but it can come up, and it has come up, obviously. The other thing I wanted to point out, so the baseball show is like music and stories and so on, and some fun.
Yeah. And so I have you can go on my website, and I have all, the whole year's, I think I'm doing 11 this year, and they're up, the schedule is up there, and they're all free, basically. You just have to find out where they are and probably call up and, you know, reserve a spot or something like that.
You know, I want to go back before I forget and get out of here. The album there, and we have the visual, the graphic on this post here. There's a reference there to your granddaughter, I believe. But also, you're also getting some help with some of your work from your son and your daughter helping you out on some of these projects.
That's right. Yeah, they're very musical. My daughter sings, and my son plays the flute, and they both sing. And they've been on the last few albums that I've recorded, so it's really great to be. And we occasionally, when they were before they went away, my son's in L.A. now, but we used to perform together, concerts and things, and the three of us would perform once in a while. But now, since my son Keith is in L.A., we don't get to do that often. But we probably do it like once a year or so. So, and then actually I have a song about my granddaughter and Hannah, and we're putting together a video of that too, which has got a lot of cute baby, because she's only a year and a half old now, so we've got some videos of her growing up and learning to walk and that kind of stuff, and she has a little speaking part at the beginning of it, and so this is the first time I've ever done a video of a song, so that'll be on my website, my homepage as well. And, of course, I had to get my daughter to sing backup vocals on that song. It's her daughter, and she did a beautiful job. So that's pretty exciting. And I've got a photo of Hannah on the back of the album, too. So
I think, Howie, you're a little late to the game. I think the music video craze started back in the 80s, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm a late adopter, you know. I mean, it's like one of the songs I have on my previous album is called Low Tech. You know, it's about getting a cell phone. You know, many years after everybody else did. But I'm late. Usually a late adopter of these things.
Well, that's fine. That's okay. I don't think there's a problem with that. Well, Howie, you know, we've covered a lot of territory here, and you know, I'm just grateful to be able to catch up with you again and have you share some of your stories with our audience. It's fantastic, and you're right nearby, and I guess anything else that you want to share with us about your appearances or anything else that you want to weigh in on before we put an end to this.
Well, anybody who's interested in the music, you know, go to my website. You can buy either a physical CD or you can get the MP3s. The latest album is not out. It's going to take a few weeks to get out to the digital outlets and things like that. But I sell the CDs at all my gigs and stuff. I'm still selling CDs. People are telling me that, you know, it's outmoded and nobody does it anymore, but I'm still selling them. But, yeah, we have a good time. It's always, you know, when I perform, it's either with the duo or even solo, the baseball shows or the Knock on Wood shows. We really have a good time. We try to engage the audience and make it fun for everybody. A lot of sing-along stuff and a lot of humor, and it's just a lively, fun show. And so I encourage you to come out.
You know what? You say something, Howie, and it prompts me to ask another question here. So tell me about the download or MP3 pieces. How do people get that piece from you?
On anything except the present album, you can go to any of the digital outlets, you know, Spotify,
okay, all right,
or iTunes, Amazon. They're all out there. And the album just was released yesterday, so it's not out there. But if people want to get a download, they can contact me directly, and I can take care of that for them.
Oh, okay. I got you. All right. And again, we have all the links up on from Howie's page, website, and so on. So it's impossible not to be able to follow through with any of this stuff. That's from what I understand on the website. It's very informative. So again, Howie, thanks so much for taking some time to join us, and best of luck. And maybe we can catch up again sometime when, you know what, let's say when they take away the DH and bring back the pitchers hitting, then we can talk again then. How about that?
Yeah, that'd be great. Have a big party or something like that. Great. Well, thanks, Bill. I appreciate it.
Yeah, take care. There he is, Howie Newman with us here on MSONewsSports.com.